I want to thank you for joining in. I'm Lauren Mahakian, certified dementia practitioner and elder care specialist and founder and CEO of Family Connect Care. We offer in-home care management services and we're about to open our fourth memory care home in Solvang, California, providing a family setting for those with dementia, Alzheimer's, and cognitive disorders. I started these conversations as a way to offer support and guidance to a community of amazing people that are caring for loved ones with memory issues. Together, I strive to help unpack the many dimensions of dementia, and I am thrilled that now, through Zoom, even our support groups are accessible nationwide to everybody. Be sure to go to familyconnectcare.com/support to learn more. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Unlocking the Doors of Dementia with Lauren. I am so excited today to have Katie Barrett with us. Katie is the senior manager for the Internet Archive. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Such a pleasure to be here.
Fabulous. So, Internet Archive, I never heard of it before until I was introduced to you. Mm-hmm. I went on the Internet Archive website. I was like blown away. I feel like I'm so out of it, not knowing what a treasure.
It really is.
What a treasure. Tell us, can you explain to my audience, what is the Internet Archive?
Sure. Well, we are actually celebrating our 25th anniversary this year. We've been around since 1996. And the Internet Archive was primarily known for the Wayback Machine. So we've been crawling the World Wide Web since 1996. Wow. And taking a kind of like a snapshot of the web and all the web pages. So for instance, if you have a web page that you, you know, spun up back in the early 2000s, we probably have at least a few snapshots of that. And it's not just screenshots, but it's the actual code base. So you can go back, let's say your website goes down, for instance, you can go back and find all of the images, all of the code. It's all still there, which is pretty cool. So we're primarily known for the Wayback Machine, but then we also were the largest digital library in the world. So we host, you know, books, film, music, software, you know, all sorts of different things. We're used by, we get about 1.5 million daily users on the Internet itself. Yeah, it's just a really amazing resource for the world, really. And it's free to use for anyone.
I was amazed to see that it's a free service. Mm-hmm. That's just amazing. So before we kind of dive in a little bit more about the Internet Archive, just tell us a little bit about your background before your time with Internet Archive.
Sure. I've had a bit of a circuitous route to the archive.
Yeah.
The first part of my career, I spent a couple years in Japan. I was teaching English on the JET program over on the island of Shikoku. And when I came back, I worked for an international school for a number of years. But my passion really was in music and music journalism. And so from there, I pivoted and went and worked for the Grammy Awards, the Recording Academy, for a number of years. And then through the Recording Academy, made a lot of different connections with a lot of different women who worked in the music industry in the San Francisco and the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I founded a group called Pops and Buzzes. And it's a membership group for women who work in the music industry. Mm-hmm. We would get together and throw salons and speaker series and that kind of thing. And through my network there, I found my way into the event space, and then eventually found my way to the Internet Archive. The Internet Archive was a sponsor of one of the events that I was working on. And so that's how I found the Internet Archive. I volunteered for them for the first maybe year and a half that I knew them. And then I joined the fundraising team. And so I've been there for almost 5 years, helping to raise money and awareness around the Internet Archive.
Wow. Wow. You're a busy gal.
Yeah. It's been a circuitous route to it. Yeah.
We also have something in common. As you know, I'm a dementia practitioner, and I work with the memory impaired and have been since 2008. And I understand that your dad had dementia.
That's right.
And that you actually used the Internet Archive to tap into his long-term memory.
I did.
Can you share your journey with my listeners?
Sure. So my dad started showing early signs of dementia back in 2013. And so as you, I know, are very aware, it's a slow, a slow and painful disease. What first started to go with my dad was his short-term memory. You know, what, like things that had just happened just started disappearing. But what was super interesting was the long-term memory was still intact and almost came to life in a new and interesting way. So stories from high school, stories from junior high school started becoming part of the canon. And those had never been stories that he told before, which is really interesting. And so sports has always been a thread through my family. So, I mean, if we go way back, so my dad's dad, him and his brothers were all big sports nuts and, you know, played sports. And so my grandfather was actually on, God, it was like the 1920s ghost train football team in Stockton, California. And like they went to like NorCal champions, 1927. And then also like everybody's in like the sports hall of fame in Stockton. We have a field named after us, the Cleland Field.
Really?
I know. It's super cool.
Wild.
I know. And so my dad, he was also a sports nut growing up. And so, you know, he played Little League, of course, but then he went on to play in the softball World Series in Stamford, Connecticut. His best friend, Bob Garibaldi, ended up playing for the San Francisco Giants. So there's just always been a lot of baseball in my family. And like, and that's always been part of the stories that my dad would tell. So for instance, like when Bob was playing for the Giants, there was an exhibition game with the New York Yankees. And so Bob invited my dad down to the dugout. And so that was like one of his favorite stories to tell was like how he got me, Maris and, Mantle and Yogi Berra and like how he got to meet all of his heroes, right? You also have Willie Mays, Willie McCovey, that kind of thing. So these have always been the stories. So I knew that,
No, it's okay because I can see, I know my listeners, this is audio only, but we're on Zoom and we can see each other, though my screen did go black for a moment. I have a new computer being installed today, but just the glow on your face when you are right now sharing your story with your dad, I take it that even though they were the same stories that your dad shared with you for, many years prior to his dementia, I bet you learned not only new things about your dad, but also you created new memories with him.
That's right.
With the same stories.
That's right.
And I'm sure that it made him not only feel good, but also gave him back a sense of purpose going back.
It's true. You know, one of the things that we would do together, one of the special things was on the Internet Archive, we had this collection of classic baseball radio broadcasts. And it goes back, into like the 40s. And so you can go and look at this collection and pick out some of these really incredible games. So like, Sandy Koufax's three-hit shutout, for instance, or, the 1951, like the shot we heard around the world, Giants versus Dodgers game. And so we would put these games on for him and it would calm him.
Yeah.
A lot of times with dementia, my dad would, there's just a lot of anxiety,
frustration,
fear, anger, all of these emotions. But these kind of things, I like to think that he was reliving these games.
There's
certain games. It's like he would have been 11 years old here listening to a specific game. Like he might have been listening it with his dad. I like to think that it was jogging some memories for him. Unclear, right? But it calmed him. It calmed him. These were great resources that the archive has that were really, really helpful for my dad, and I'm sure would be helpful for other people as well.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. I'm going to share this with my team at my memory care homes. And
that's fantastic.
I offered my own engagement program called Stimuli, and it's all about bringing it back. bringing back what they once did. So it's customized. It's not one size fits all.
Sure.
So the Internet Archive is really going to play an important role in going forward. At least I can say for myself and my memory care homes to tap into the long-term memories of our residents.
Oh, and that's fantastic. And let me tell you more.
Yeah, so, please. No, that's wonderful. I'm loving this.
So, for instance, another great collection that we have on the archive is the old time radio collection.
Ah, okay.
So it's like old episodes of Gunsmoke or Orson Welles, like, you know, telling the story of the Shadow or like Dragnet. So like, and you just keep going with all these collections. We've got classic TV. So you could put on, you know, Bonanza or old Jackie Gleason episodes or like the Lone Ranger. But then also, okay, so that there's the visual and the audio, right? But then there's also, we have a whole 78s collection. So it's old tango or, maybe a Hawaiian music marching band collections. I mean, we have over 200,000 recordings on the Internet Archive. And so you can go in and find these collections. That was one thing that I found so fascinating with my dad. I think it was two Thanksgivings ago. We were having dinner. It was Thanksgiving. And my husband put on some music because music also really calmed my dad.
That's right. Yeah. Well. Yes.
And
right on.
He couldn't necessarily remember my name.
Uh-huh.
But he knew all of the words.
Yeah.
China Grove by the Doobie Brothers. And he was singing along. And it was bizarre. You know, it was like his verb skills were really starting to wane at that point, but he could still sing all the songs.
I know, isn't that wild?
Yes, so wild. So we have a huge music collection as well. So yeah, I think that these collections could be really beneficial to your patients, to all patients who suffer from
memory impairment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you know what, Katie, the Internet Archive is also a go-to place right now during this pandemic. Many people were at home, right? Not going out, hopefully, and socializing, but the Internet Archive is the place to go now.
Yeah, it really is. You know, when the pandemic hit, we kind of leapt into action and started putting together lists of like, you know, all the things to do if you can't go outside or hear all the, like we have a collection of, you know, old video games. So like playing Oregon Trail or introduce your kids to some of the arcade games you used to play, how to entertain, kids who are bouncing off the walls. So yeah, I mean, we are such a resource for, I mean, I feel like right now today is the internet's day. Like this is what it is for, right? And so, so we have been such a resource for people, and it's been, it's been kind of a wild year. So it's been interesting.
Now, what I did find on the archive is you have a library for kids.
That's right. That's right.
And I have a 12-year-old who's going on like 22. Okay.
Sure.
And she's on the internet all day long.
Uh-huh.
And I cannot wait to share the Internet Archive with Ari, my daughter.
Oh, Ari. That's great.
What, besides the books for kids, the library, what else does the archive offer for kids?
Just to go back to books for a second, there's some really cool collections. Like there is the 1000 Black Girl books, and it's just a wonderful canon. Please share it with Ari. I think that she would really enjoy it. But, you know, there's the software collection, like I said, like the Oregon Trail. Like we also have a video game emulator. So you can play all of these old video games in the browser itself, like using your arrow keys. So you can go, you know, Prince of Persia, for instance, or like, you know,
really?
Yeah. So I would definitely share that with her as well, because like they're just, you know, things that, you know, we might have played when we were kids that we can share.
And tell them, see, this is what mom used to do.
Exactly. We also have one of my favorite collections is we have a hip hop mixtape collection. So, you know, the mixtape, the idea of like, you know, creating mixtapes and trading them and sharing them. Someone uploaded a whole collection. So if she's into hip hop, we have this really cool, like, mixtape collection that she might enjoy. I don't know if she's into the Grateful Dead yet. I don't know what
not yet. No, she's not. I saw the Grateful Dead though collection on there. I thought that was pretty cool. So, okay. So we're kind of like all over the place, but that's okay. It's really cool. Things are popping in my mind. These collections, they're donated, or are you have researchers that bring them into the archive?
A lot of the time it is, you know, archivists, historians uploading material for free. Certain groups will have certain collections that they are experts in, and so we'll custom create collections. We also partner through our Archive-It program. We also partner with universities, libraries, big institutions who will use us to help them curate their collections and run their web crawling, which will then ingest into the Internet Archive. So I'll give you a really good example of a project that we do every 4 years, which is really poignant today, or as of yesterday.
Right.
So whitehouse.gov, for instance, it's always whitehouse.gov, and with every administration, it changes, right? Oh. But what we do is we go in and we crawl the pages. So we take a historical snapshot of exactly what the Trump page looks like, exactly what the Obama page looks like. And then we will now start crawling the Biden page as well. So you have that historical memory of this is what the whitehouse.gov website and all of its pages looked like. And so we're trying to maintain that historical record. Wow. So that's one example, just a poignant example for what happened yesterday. But we're doing that. You can, I use the example of the New York Times, for instance. Like, their homepage is changing, so often. The average, life cycle of a web page is only 100 days. So we are making sure that there is a backup to all of that that historical record.
It's like a totally different world. Mm-hmm. Like, your world is just, I'm just spinning from this. It is really cool.
Yeah.
One thing I learned this morning, wait, I have to put on my glasses because I can't drive 55 anymore. Okay. So like a petabyte.
Oh, sure.
Right? All I ever knew is, is gigabyte. I never like petabyte. So can you kind of just give a quick lesson on, petabyte, terabyte? Gigabyte.
Gosh,
it's just a bunch of chunk of data, right?
Big chunk of data. And I'm going to flub it. Let me try it and then make sure that. So 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte. And I'm going to need to do a quick Google search on that to make sure. My founder is going to kill me if I don't get it. Then 1,000 terabytes is a petabyte, and then 1,000 petabytes is an exobyte. Oh, and so, when we first launched the Internet Archive, we were talking in terabytes, and that was a big deal at that time. And now we're, we're into petabytes, and we're at 70 petabytes.
So to store a single petabyte would take over 745 million floppy disks. Or 1.5 million CD-ROM disks.
That's right.
That's crazy. I guess we just don't really think about this stuff. I mean, when we go on the internet or to your archive, I don't think average person, right?
I don't think
we really, really think about how much data that is. Yeah. Right? Not junk, right?
Right.
So I know we've kind of jumped around a little bit, and how the archive helped your dad through his journey of dementia. Mm-hmm. I lost my dad this past November.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And he, he served in the Navy and he was a boxer. I wish I would have known about the Internet Archive, right? But he also shared many of his stories over and over with us as well. And between myself and my sisters, we saw how much he enjoyed talking about his experiences as a boxer and being in the Navy. And it is calming. And this is wonderful how the Internet Archive is a resource for families who are struggling with the disease of dementia.
Absolutely. How a lot of this came about and how you and I found each other.
Yeah.
One of my projects at the end of the year was to write a blog about why the Internet Archive matters.
Yeah. I read that. I liked it. It was very good. Yes.
And so I was thinking a lot about memory and about my dad and the fact that I work for a memory institution.
Right.
We are the memory of the web. We are, you know, when you think about our cultural heritage, our cultural memory, you know, a lot of it can be found, most of it can be found on the Internet Archive. And we are the stewards of that, and how I am the steward of my dad's memories as well, and mm-hmm. how that weaves together and how important that is. But then it's on all of us to preserve those memories.
Absolutely.
And so, like, one more thing I will share is on the Internet Archive, on our web archive, we have a function called Save Page Now. And so what that does is that if you see a website that you want to be archived at the moment in the Internet Archive, you can drop that website into that search bar and hit enter. It'll save the page at the moment. And so when I was doing research on my dad and my family, going into, you know, the old, you know, Stockton Record, you know, newspaper clippings and the Sports Hall of Fame websites. When I would see things that had information about my family, I would drop those websites into the Save Page Now function on web.archive.org. So now I know that there is a capture of that.
Wow.
That page. And so it's something that we can all do. Another project that I really want to do at some point, and it's kind of like a Marie Kondo housekeeping project. But there are moments where in my photo history on my phone where I've done something wrong and I have lost like a chunk of time in my photos, right? And so and it really, it feels like a little bit of a tragedy, right? Like I've lost that whole system. And so what I'm hoping to do is use the Internet Archive because it's free web hosting. I'm hoping to upload all of my photos at some point onto the Internet Archive and create my own little collection so that I know that my photos will be there forever. Like I can access the photos at any point. And I'm not relying on another service to save it for me, that I can just put them all there and I know they will be there forever. So that's another project.
That's a really cool idea, and that's for your eyes only. That would not be made public, correct?
You could make it so you could make it non-indexable. So what that means is it wouldn't be part of Google search engine. So it would be, you know, so you could add that feature to it. Like it's everything is public, but you could add a feature that so it's not indexable, not searchable. Right.
Very cool. So, you know, Katie, you said that project that you want to do out loud. So now you have to do it.
It's true. It's true. My 2021 New Year's resolution.
That's right. So I'm going to follow back up with you to make sure that you know, you're working on your new project.
You better.
Anyways, this has been really fun talking with you today. And I really appreciate you coming on. And I know that my audience is just going to love listening to you, and I'm sure they're all going to be going to the Internet Archive. I know I'm going to be sharing it with my weekly support group as well and have them check it out. I know they're just going to be thrilled, and I'm going to have Ari check it out as well. And I'm definitely going to be making a donation to the Internet Archive.
Thank you, Lauren. And really appreciate that.
And again, thank you very much.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that we can continue getting to know each other and maybe we can work together on something. Who knows, right? Never know.
Yep, that's great.
Right. Well, thank you everybody for listening to another episode of Unlocking the Doors of Dementia with Lauren. And you know what my last words are going to be. Don't get blinded by those chandeliers.
Please remember that we have a transcript of this podcast on our website, listed under podcasts. Feel free to share it with others so we can continue to grow and support our community. And drop me a note if you want to sponsor our next podcast. And I hope you join us again in 2 weeks. From now on, our podcasts always released on the first and third Fridays of each month.